Doctor Show for natural, organic gardening advice. And now the Dirt Doctor, my dad, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. I want to tell you again, to do another plug for the dogs that we need to help, because there's more than one at the Dallas SPCA. They're Lazarus, Colonel, Como, and this week's pet, which is a beautiful gal, a 5-year-old, 48-pound female shepherd mix, beautiful color and great expression. Pictures on our website. Her name is Libby. And this feature is brought to you by the wonderful company called Victor Pet Foods. No wheat, no corn, no soy, no gluten. If you're going to take care of your animals, use a high-quality dog food like this one. This one is very cost-effective, is another thing compared to other so-called high-end foods. This one is several choices. They have several different blends, but absolutely outstanding. They have grain-free or products with grain, so whichever way you want to go. But no chemical preservatives, just the good stuff that we recommend. Victor Pet Foods, and the way you find out more is go to victordogfood.com. We've been talking a little bit about in Howard's garden. One of the questions that starts to come up, and one of my golf buddies asked me about it yesterday, is you start to get some interesting looking, kind of curious looking fall color happening at this time of the year. A lot of times we call it early fall color. It will happen often on plants that are in some stress, or and plants that are not quite well adapted, or some kind of stress, something that you've done, which causes a stress, not enough water, for example. The one specifically that I was talking about yesterday was bald cypress. A lot of the bald cypress at this time of the year will turn brown, especially internally, and start kicking off some of their foliage. That's not enough water being able to be pulled up, just like the big leaf plants like sycamores and elms that we've talked about in weeks past here. When the transpiration rate of the tree, in other words, the tree's not able to pull up enough moisture to balance the moisture that's being transpired out from the leaves, it'll adjust itself by kicking off some of the leaves. Well, bald cypress will do that late summer a lot of times too. That's partially related to water, but also there's a mite that hits it. But the mite is not just kind of casually going around and sees a tree and decides that that would be a good one to attack. It's attacking because the tree's in stress. Stress can be on bald cypress from two basic reasons. One is not enough water at the right time, and two, it's a bad seed source. Bald cypress are grown in nurseries and come from mother plants that were grown in alkaline soil like we have in Texas, and will do beautifully long term in those alkaline soils. And then other bald cypresses, the seed source is from rich, deep organic acid soils. And here's the trick. Here's the rub. When you buy bald cypress, if you get one that's a seed source from that acid soil, it's never going to really like being in the alkaline soils. If you're in the western part of the United States, Texas, and some of the other places where the alkaline soils are, if you buy bald cypress and you have nice acid, rich, loamy soil, either one of those seed sources will probably do fine for you. But if you're having a chronic problem and your bald cypress is looking bad every year, what's happening is it doesn't like the soil, and as a result, it's not able to access all the trace minerals that it needs in the plant, and that's causing the yellow color. A lot of people say it's an iron deficiency, and it sometimes can be, but more often it's a deficiency of several different trace minerals getting into the plant. Same thing happens with red oaks. A lot of the red oaks, and the names are confusing. A lot of the red oaks are called Schumard red oaks, Texas red oaks, Spanish red oak, other names, escarpment red oak. Truth is, they crossbreed. They're so bad about crossbreeding that you never know exactly what the blood is in your red oaks. Some of the nurseries will sell Schumard red oaks, for example, and say that they're very well adapted to alkaline soils, the calcareous limestone type soils. Other people will say that if it's a true Schumard, it won't grow in those kind of soils at all. The truth is, probably both are right, depending on what the crossbreeding was. If the seed source of the red oak is such that it came from an alkaline, calcareous, limestone-based soil, it may have a lot of Schumard blood in it. It may not. It may have some others, but it probably does. It probably has a mix in there. But there are some telltale situations or details that you can see on the plant, characteristics on the plant that can help you. And I'm talking to people primarily in Texas and alkaline soils here in western states. If you're buying red oaks, what you want to be very careful about is try to avoid trees that don't have northern red oak, southern red oak, and especially pin oak blood in the red oak tree, because they will not grow in those high pH alkaline soils. They'll turn yellow every year, and it doesn't matter how many trace minerals you put. Throwing iron at them is a total waste of time, because it's usually a whole lot more than a deficiency in iron. And you can see pictures on my website and in all my books, especially my tree book, Texas Trees, that shows how to identify some of the real problem trees. The worst one is pin oak, and it's the easiest one to identify because the pin oak gets its name from the little pin twigs that are all along the branches in the tree. I didn't realize how powerful an identification that is. I used to tell people look for the lateral branches and even the lower limbs drooping. That's a good giveaway too, that it's a pin oak tree rather than a red oak that'll grow in alkaline soils. The leaves are a little bit different too, and I show close-ups in my book and on the website of the difference in the leaves from pin oak over to red oak. And there's not just here's one and here's two. There's a variety. There's a range there. And there can be a little pin oak blood in a red oak. And if it's not too much, it can do real well in alkaline soils. So it's a little bit of a crapshoot. But when you learn these characteristics, if the red oak tree has a pointed top and it looks kind of Christmas tree in shape, that's bad. that's generally showing that it's got a lot of pin oak blood in it. If you take the twigs and try to bend them and they don't snap like a matchstick and they're kind of rubbery, that's a bad sign too. But the main one are those little bitty twigs all along the branches, and that's where the pin of pin oak, that's where that term came from. And if you want to talk about that in more detail, give me a call. That's red oaks are tricky. There's a red oak that comes from the Big Bend part of the estate that I love. It's called Canby Red Oak. I've got several growing. One of them has a little pin oak in it. It's got a little bit of a tendency, you can see it, to have a little bit of discoloration when it gets really hot. It's hanging in there and doing well. It's not a problem, but I can tell that it's not perfectly well adapted like other Canby oaks that are growing. Some are growing in Dallas and been here for 40, 50, 60 years growing in our alkaline soil. But the little Canby oak, which is a semi-evergreen red oak, some cases it is completely evergreen. If it has a little northern red oak or some of those other kind of red oaks in the mix of the breeding, the natural breeding that goes on out in nature, it can be a little bit of a problem for you. Okay, more on that later. And there's an open line at 866-444-3478. Next up is Gertrude in Brenham, Georgia.
Yes, and I greatly appreciate this. There's an ant problem here where I live. I've lived in this apartment for 12 years, And last year there was a little bit of a problem. This year it's very bad. I live upstairs. My neighbor downstairs is overrun with ants. I think they're coming from downstairs, and they're coming up to my apartment.
They've been bad this year all around. We had a little problem with them, and we brought out the company, the pest control company that advertises with us to do some treatments. Can you hold on with me, and we won't be rushed and talk about it when I come back?
Okay, sure will.
Hang on with me. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. We're going to start by talking about ants, and then we'll go to your question, whatever it is. Telephone number, if you want to call me, 866-444-3478. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here for Victor Pet Foods. In addition to the grain-free choices, all the great Victor products are wheat, corn, soy, and gluten-free and are naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater love Victor. Your dogs and cats will too. Ask for Victor at your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now manufacturing Garrett Juice Pro, the advanced mix of Garrett Juice formula. Garrett Juice Pro improves the health of soil and plants with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and hydrolyzed fish, also beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it at garden centers, farm and feed stores, and hardware stores. For Garrett Juice and other fine products, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The Sick Tree Treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way, how it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Just saw an email and did a quick answer because it was real simple that everybody may be, a lot of people ask me from time to time. So, and that is, this was up in Illinois, somebody found some organic fertilizer on sale, half off, and they wanted to know if they could buy it and save it and use it for next year. And the answer is yes. If you just keep fertilizer stored in a place where it doesn't get wet, it'll last a long time. In fact, if anything, get better. Some people get concerned when they have cornmeal products and they end up with some weevils or some moths or some kind of bugs in the product. That just adds a little protein to it. Doesn't hurt anything at all. So that's probably the worst thing that will happen. Short of water, getting an organic product wet, it may develop a real bad odor, and it also might turn into a brick. So other than it getting wet, organic fertilizers, liquids, and dries can be stored and saved from one year to the next if you find a good deal and want to stock up. The liquid, things like the Garrett juice mixture, can be stored also, but it will usually develop kind of a clumpiness on the surface, which is microbiotic activity is what it is. You just skim that off, throw it in beds or in the compost pile. It's beneficial. It would clog up the sprayers, the only bad thing about it. It's best to go ahead and use it as soon as you can, have some fresh stuff, but if you do have to hold the liquids for a period of time, it's not a problem, really. Back to the phones. Let me see who's it's Gertrude talking about ants. Gertrude, do you have any idea what kind of ants they are?
Well, let me tell you, while I was on the phone and holding here, I came up with something, trying to help describe the picture of what's going on here. If you ant is A-N-T. If you add G-I to the front of it, it's giant. And that's what we got going on here. The G would stand for grounds. The pest man said that these ants don't live in hills. They're little dark brown little bitty ants, and they bite. He said that they live in pine straw, underneath pine straw, and fungus in the pine straw. He said they also, there's thought that they produce their own fungus, their own food there. So that's G, the giant problem. Every so often, the apartment complex, they'll come and they'll put pine straw on top of pine straw. Pine straw completely lines the front of the building where we live.
And that's where it comes from. Well, the kind of ant that grows a fungus in the ground down here in this part of the country is called a harvester ant or red ant, and they're big. They're about the they're as big as a carpenter ant.
Yeah, so. These are not red ants. We have red ants.
And yours aren't big either. So.
No, they're small, tiny, but they do bite.
Okay. Well, hopefully he knows what he's talking about there. All the ants can be controlled with various baits, and we cover that information on the website, boric acid baits that you make with a mixture of a little bit of boric acid into some kind of an attractant like peanut butter or sugar or mint. Some people, we've got several formulas that you can see on there that you could try. Mm-hmm. You can kill the ants with a non-toxic, several non-toxic things. You can use orange oil. You can use the product that's called Bio Wash, which you could buy mail order. Cinnamon, black pepper, red pepper, those kind of things repel them. But here's the thing. When you have an ant that's coming in the quantities that you have, you've probably got them coming from the colony. And so in that case, that's not a home. There's not a good home remedy for that.
Well, our landlord said there's not anything she can do. The pest man comes and he sprays. My neighbor's solution downstairs is to have him saturate her apartment, and he wants to come saturate mine.
No,
now,
that's
like
not.
Chemicals.
That's terrible.
And also, she's kind of homebound, and she has beverages in her living room. She sits out.
Well, tell them to go to my website and see what is on there, what they need to do, and you need to find another pest control company to be more open-minded. What they need to do is put out baits so that the ants, they're very low toxicity materials, and one of the reasons is you want the ant to live to take it back to the colony and kill out the colony. You can kill them every day, and if it's a gigantic colony, there's just going to be more coming. So you got to get some kind of a bait out there that they'll take back to the colony, kill out the queens, and kill out the overall colony, and it'll go away. I mean, you'll have absolutely zero a problem if you go that route, just spraying something toxic or an organic thing like orange oil over and over and over again. It'll kill the ones that it hits. The toxic stuff will make you sick and is extremely dangerous, so you don't want to do it for two reasons. But so you've got to get a pest control company involved in this case to put out a bait that they will get back to the colony, a spinosad bait. Niban is another one. There's several on the market that are low toxicity that can be taken back to the colony and kill it out.
Uh-huh. Okay, now as far as her and she has a someone who comes and sits with her 5 days a week. But I think because she has food out, she cooks with grease. I found that any speck of food anything, they will come to anything. I have to have everything totally clean.
That's exactly right. You're right.
And as long as she doesn't, then it's like they're coming up from her apartment up to mine.
Well, try to talk to her, and that's a problem of bringing them in, and find somebody, a pest control company, that'll get you the
right kind of
treatment.
Thank
Appreciate
you so
call.
Much.
It's not fun to have those kind of things, but we've had them, since we've been living where we're living 30-something years. We've had an outbreak where we had to call in help about three times. It'll kind of pop up and then go away and then pop up again. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step by step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478. Or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
I was just looking at the internet about baits that are recommended, and one that comes up real quick is Terra, which is a bait that I don't recommend. And you need to be careful when you start looking at baits to avoid the toxic ones. There's other good websites besides the information that we have on dirtdoctor.com that cover the sweet baits. Basically, you put something like boric acid or spinosad into something that would be attractive to them, sugar, like I was talking to the caller, sugar or peanut butter or something like that. I did some not too long ago that were recommended to me by one of Bob's listeners down in San Antonio, Webster's listeners in San Antonio, and that is putting spinosad and peanut butter together, and it seemed to work pretty well. It's one that we need to add to the baits that we already have on the website. So just be careful. You don't want the real toxic stuff. You want something that will work, and hopefully we've got several alternatives there that will help you on the website. Let's see, where are we here? Dottie's turn in Paris, Texas. Hi, Dottie, hadn't heard from you in a while.
I've been busy, and it is, oh, it is wonderful. one of God's most beautiful days today.
It was really comfortable this morning and yesterday, too, really.
And it still is. I need some help with something. My clematis.
Sure. Okay.
Of course, it's climbing way up high, has been beautiful, but now this weather we've had this summer, it looks like it's been hit with a blowtorch. My question is, how far can I cut that back and not hurt it?
Which clematis do you have? Is it the fall blooming one, the one that's blooming now?
No, that's the autumn clematis. It's okay. It's climbed way up
okay.
to the top
yeah, that's
of my
the toughest,
trees, and it's
toughest
gorgeous.
One. Mm-hmm.
But my other clematis, and don't ask me their names. I've had them so long, I don't remember their names.
Big flowers.
Yes, gorgeous.
Well, they're just more sensitive to the hot weather. I think that it probably is the same thing that happened to sycamore trees and elm trees. It's just some burn. We went from that huge rain event that we had in the spring, you know, to the 100-degree-plus weather, and it just stressed them. You can cut it back pretty severely. The clematis
okay.
will have a pretty big root system, especially yours. It's been there for a while. Cut it back. Don't overdo it, but you can cut it back pretty severely just to tidy it up.
Okay.
You might cut a lot of the foliage off and lose some of the stems, you know, with some height left to it.
I'm going to cut it off to the top of my fences.
Oh, that'll be fine, yeah.
And then it can take off again this
sure.
spring.
Sure, won't hurt it at all. It'll be
now,
good.
I want to share something with you. With the in the summertime, I've been meaning to share this with you for a while, the birds. I feed cat food, the meow mix with the soft centers. I have some flat top posts, and I put some colorful pots on top of them with a nail in it so I can stick it through that hole. And those political signs that are out, pull those up, put them together, drive them into the ground, and put your pots on, insert the pots into those stakes sticking up. The birds get them, take them to the nestlings, they bring them back. In fact, I've got a blue jay screaming at me now because I'm in the way of this pot that's got the food in it, and he's wanting to bring his kids here.
Well, I'm not familiar.
They bring their fledglings back to it to feed.
Well, that's cool. I'm not familiar with the meow mix. What have you looked at the ingredients carefully? And
it's all high protein. It's good. Yes, I have looked at
okay.
it. The one with the soft centers.
All right.
And they just feed it. If it goes empty and I don't know it's empty, the jays, the mockingbirds, and the cardinals, they tell me about it.
Okay. Do you have a way to take a picture and send it to us?
No, I don't.
Well, get somebody to help you with that.
I'm going to tell Santa Claus I want a camera.
Yeah, or just one of the little phones. Whenever you can get a shot of that, send it to us and we'll show the world.
But those pots, colorful pots, clay pots as well, on the post sticking here and there around the area where they feed, it's pretty and it's real interesting to watch the birds come and feed at them.
That's a good idea. I appreciate it.
And now I'm going to go to work on this clematis and make it a blessed day.
Okay, Dottie, thank you very much.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Good to talk to you again. She's a good gardener and an organic gardener and always has some good ideas. Let's see, open line all of a sudden at 866-444-3478. Who's next here? Jerry in Sanger is next. Sanger, Texas. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning, Howard. I just put in St. Augustine lawn back in the spring, and is there anything I need to do this fall to help it get through the winter time?
No, I know there are people out there saying it's getting a little bit too late to plant solid sod, and that's nonsense. We plant solid sod in the fall and in the winter and in the spring and every time. All you need to do is make sure that it doesn't dry out, doesn't desiccate. If you do a light top dressing of compost after it's planted, and in your case, it's been down for how long already?
4 months.
Oh, gosh, you don't have anything to worry about at all. It's an old-timer now. But this is the best time of the year to put down a thin layer of compost over your turf. If you haven't done that, it helps with disease control. It helps with just the general strength and hardiness of the grass. But unless we have a winter like we had in 1983 where it killed live oak trees, you know, remember that one?
Yep.
That'll kill grass, but that'll kill grass that's been in place, you know, for years and years. It doesn't have anything to do with it being young. Good, healthy sod, that, and it doesn't matter whether it's zoysia or St. Augustine grass or Bermuda or whatever it is, planted in the fall will be fine, especially when it's fertilized with organic fertilizers.
Okay, should I, this winter when all the leaves come down, should I just leave the leaves on the turf?
What I like to do is step one, mulch the leaves into the turf, whether it's new turf or old turf. It's a great fertilizer. It's what nature does is throw down organic matter in the fall, you know. So we till it in. Now, in my place, I've got so many trees and big trees that I have such a volume of leaves that after mulching into the turf for a period of time, you can see that it's starting to get to the point where if I do it much more, it's going to completely cover up the grass.
Right.
Well, at that point, you keep mulching, but you rake the excess up and you put that in the compost pile, or you put it over the first step. Usually what we do is we put that excess stuff over in the beds as part of the mulch in the beds around shrubs and ground covers and vines and that sort of thing. And then as a last step, you put it into the compost pile, but we put it on the turf first.
Okay, all right. That pretty well answers the question. One more quick one. I got two pear trees. They're about 18 years old, and last year both of them just put out just tons of pears. This year they're about 30 feet apart. One of them produced real good. The other one didn't do anything.
Just the weather, crazy weather, you know, heavy, heavy rains could have done some damage, anaerobic conditions in the root system, and then the extremely hot weather that came right after the rain went away. You know, both those things were tough on the fruit trees. The other thing, if you've listened to me for a while, Jerry, you know that the most important thing you can do is get that flare, the base of the tree, very dramatically exposed. And I'll bet you the one that produced well for you has a better flare than the one that didn't.
Okay, I'll go check that out.
Yeah, and if you want to know how to do it, just look at the shots on Facebook. But basically, you just pull that soil away, and more is better in this case. The more dramatically exposed the flare is, the better the tree will like it.
Okay, hey, that answers both questions. All right, y'all have a good day.
Okay, Jerry, thanks.
You bet.
Okie doke. Who's next? It would be Neil in Fort Worth. Hi, Neil.
Good morning. I have a couple things for you. I have a lot of pine straw that I use for mulch in the yard.
Uh-huh.
And I guess probably because of the heavy spring rains, I've grown a fairly good number of pine seedlings coming up.
Really? Huh.
Yeah.
I'll be doing.
And it's first, you know, I've used pine mulch for years, but that's the first time that's ever happened.
I've never seen that happen either, Jerry. That's really, I mean, Neil, that's very interesting.
Yeah, and I'm just going to leave them and, you know, see how they do. The problem
sure.
I've got, or the dilemma, is I'm not sure the source, because I go to East Texas and get some out of the native trees.
Mm-hmm.
But I also bought, probably 15 years ago, I bought some drought-tolerant ones from the Texas Forest Service.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'd like to reproduce those. And so I have a couple of questions. One is, if I do grow those from seed, will they also have that property of being drought-tolerant? And the other thing is just how to do it, because I've never done it before.
Yeah. You don't know. You don't know who pollinated who. So it's
No, because the mulch that I use, I got it from both sources, like I
right.
say, and I'm not sure which.
It's crapshoot. You just have to see what you get. I have never seen that happen. It's really an interesting. I guess the conditions were just so unusual and so perfect for the trees to do that you got it coming up. Take a picture of it if you can. I'd like to
sure.
see that. That'd be a neat thing to show people.
Okay.
It'd be a little bit like I've not been around it, so I assume that it would be a little bit like oak trees, that there's a certain amount of crossbreeding, and what you get is kind of, potluck. We'll just have to see what happens.
Well, the drought-tolerant property of the ones that I got from the Forest Service, that has to be a genetic modification because they're not grafting seedlings.
I don't know. I don't know how they would do it. Plus the fact you would think that those would tend to be more sterile plants and not be able to be propagated that way. So the whole thing is kind of a curious head-scratcher, isn't it?
Well, that's a good point that you're making, because where I have planted those drought-tolerant ones out in the country, there aren't any seedlings coming up. Mm-hmm. Those have been there, like I say, for 15 years.
They may be sterile. Yeah, they may be sterile. Keep us posted on it. That's an interesting little accidental experiment you got going.
All right, well, I have another one.
All right.
I have about a 200-gallon galvanized tub out in the yard that I've turned into a fish tank.
Okay.
And I've got a lot of cedar elms in the yard, and for the last whole month or so, they've been dropping a lot of leaves in there. And it's putting an oily film on top of the water, and I wonder what to do about that.
Well, you can skim it off with some kind of cheesecloth or something like that.
I skim it basically daily to get the leaves out, and the film comes with it. But I was wondering if, there's anything I can add to the water.
Well, just the biological stuff that we always do. Let me put you on hold. We'll talk off there. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, will be back with you.
I have a great recommendation for container gardening. Smart Pot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Electrolytes like sodium, potassium, magnesium, and chloride recharge your cells. That's especially important for your heart and muscles. Low electrolytes can lead to fatigue and cramping. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you. I talked to Neil a little bit more off the air. I wanted to pass on to everybody. He was trying to clean up his new aquatic pond and his pond for plants and fish and the oily residue. I have the same thing. I have a water feature, and I've got all kinds of trees, as most of you know, and all kinds of plants over it. So everything, including figs, fruit of figs and the fruit of some other plants, go in there. So you have this oily kind of thing gathering. You filter any, no matter how big your water feature is, you need to filter it every day and clean out whatever your filter situation is, skim it out with cheesecloth. And then the product that I would recommend that I use and that has worked beautifully with our situation is by BioSI, and it's called Water Doctor. And you can get it mail order. I use it from time to time. It's a beneficial microbe product. And the other thing that I do is the fish and the plant residue collects on the bottom. You get this gunky material on the bottom. And instead of draining the water feature and digging it all out or pumping it all out, we've found that we can just stir it up from time to time and let it get in the water, go down, in my case, 4 waterfalls and into the filter system. And I just work overly hard at cleaning the filter system and get it out that way, you know, on an ongoing basis rather than having to shut the whole thing down. It's hard on the fish and do the draining and the cleaning out the other way. I'm trying to come up, and maybe there's a listener out there that can help me with this. I'm trying to come up with some way of having a brush, a device that rotates or moves that will jog this gunk that builds up loose and get it up into the water that I can reach without, you know, getting into the water feature. I don't like to do that any more than I have to. Might just do it with water. I was thinking about this the other day. I might connect a PVC pipe to maybe a 6 foot length of it or so to the water hose. And I've got water coming through our whole house filter system, so I can put water into mine without it being chlorinated and use the water to blow and loosen this stuff and knock it up into the water and let it go on down the hill. One of those two ways. There ought to be some kind of commercial product out there on the market already, but I haven't been able to find it. If anybody knows about anything like that or wants to make one, let me know. It's Mary's turn in Chicago next. Hi, Mary.
Hi. We have a cabin up in the UP of Michigan, and for a long time, even the people in the area have had swarming flies. Is there anything you can recommend for that?
Well, I'll tell you a couple of things I would try. The flies that are pests tend to be able to be repelled pretty well by, believe it or not, just a plump bag, clear plastic bag of water.
Water.
Hung around. There are restaurants here in Dallas that use that technique, and it works very well on certain flies. Others can be repelled with sprays of things that have a pretty good fragrance, like garlic or orange oil or one of the essential oils. But I'd try the plump, you get the bag and make it real full and plump, and it has to stay clean. If it gets dirty, the reflection doesn't work and doesn't help to keep them away.
This is on the inside of the house.
Well, it'd be
the same thing.
Work very well
by the windows.
There's also traps that work pretty well too. People like Arbico that sell mail order, and other companies that sell organic stuff mail order. They have these non toxic traps that work real well on flies, and you might look into those also.
So look for traps as well. Okay. Well, thanks so much.
I appreciate your call. Let's go next, and we've got an open line at 866-444-3478. Let's go to Chicago once again and talk to Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, good morning to you. I've got a row of daylilies planted in a flower bed with heavy decorative racks around it. And in just one area of the daylilies, I've got these insects flying up that could possibly be ground bees. They're very, very tiny, like gnats almost, and a tan color. I had them last year for a limited time, and I think I just sprayed a wasp spray on it, and I didn't have a problem with it. But this year, they seem to be more aggressive. It's the same spot, and they fly up and down, and I don't see them actually flying around like regular bees do. They seem to stay in the same location.
That doesn't sound like a bee. I don't know any bee that's that small. It could be some kind of fungus gnat or something similar to that. If that's the case, and it wouldn't be expensive to try it, there's a product, a commercial product on the market called BTI, Bacillus thuringiensis, and the I stands for Israelensis, because they found it in Israel in these dry creek banks. And it will kill fungus gnats, black flies, and mosquitoes, and doesn't hurt beneficial insects. That'd be one thing I would look into trying. The other thing is beneficial nematodes, which are living organisms that you put out, and they would kill pest insects down in the ground very effectively that way. If you want to spray something that kills, don't use the toxic products. Use orange oil or what's called essential oils. And the nurseries and the hardware stores and mail order places will have several choices in that category.
Okay, so would this fall into the same category? While I was gardening a good month ago, one of them did bite me, and it did feel like a sting. And it left a little mark.
Well, if it is bees, the oils and the orange oil will kill them if you have to. Let me put you on hold and talk to you off the air. I got to run. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The website is dirtdoctor.com.